Mark Albertson from the Illinois Soybean Association, Director of Strategic Market Development.
All right. Mark, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. You are just back from New York at the UN meeting, and you had a delegation of Illinois soybean members there meeting with Cuba's president. If that's correct, tell me what that was all about.
Yeah, there were about 18 people representing U.S. agriculture. There were actually only two of us from Illinois. One was myself, and the other person was Paul Johnson, who was the co-chair of the U.S. Ag Coalition for Cuba. So we had a number of leaders from various commodities, from various farming businesses there, meeting with the president of Cuba and some of his top aides.
All right. And I'm guessing that the topic was trade?
Right. This was an agriculture delegation. So, for instance, former Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack was there. He was representing the dairy industry because that's where he's involved now. And, it was talking about agriculture. You know, agriculture is exempt somewhat from the U.S. embargo with Cuba, but there are still a lot of hoops we have to jump through in order to get our ag products to Cuba. And so we have been exporting ag products to Cuba since about 2001. And so we've been able to develop relationships over the years. And part of the reason for the meeting yesterday was to thank the agriculture community for exporting food to their country. Cuba, you know, has a shortage of food, and they really rely on imports. They import about $2 billion worth of food every year. The U.S. has a decent chunk of that, but we could have a lot more. And so during the meeting, the president talked about his desire to increase imports from the U.S., but of course that requires us to eliminate some of the trade barriers that are existing because of the embargo.
All right. So with the Obama administration, there was some opening of markets, I believe. And I kind of want you to talk us through what happened in the Obama administration and then in the Trump administration that might have walked some of that back and how that affects ag trade right here today.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the Obama administration didn't actually do very much to open trade with Cuba. Because that requires Congress to pass legislation to eliminate the Helms-Burton Act, the Cuban Adjustment Act, a number of other pieces of legislation that collectively make up the embargo. The president himself cannot do that. The one small thing that President Obama did was he allowed ships with U.S. agriculture to be sent down to Cuba without being paid until the ship arrives at the port. It has to do with the cash in advance rule. The embargo requires that Cuba pay U.S. exporters cash in advance for the agriculture products. But over the years, there's been debate on what does cash in advance really mean. So under prior administrations, cash in advance meant that they had to pay before the ships left the U.S., the one small change that Obama made was cash in advance means now that they have to pay in cash before they take ownership of those commodities. But the commodities could actually arrive at the ports in Cuba, and they can inspect them, and then they can pay before they take title and ownership after they've arrived. So that was something that helps, but it's a long way from being able to really normalize trade relations with Cuba.
Okay, so that's still in place. And then what's happening in the Trump administration with potentially ag trade? And I understand the decision lies with Congress, but what is the direction that you're seeing in this administration?
Well, so, you know, thankfully, the Trump administration actually didn't make any changes to the trading restrictions, other than the fact that they made some rules saying that we can't do business with military entities. But that actually doesn't affect agriculture. So when it comes to ag trade, the Trump administration made no changes whatsoever. When it comes to exporting ag products. But the problem still stands that we cannot allow normal credit terms with Cuban entities that want to buy our ag products, and that puts us at a disadvantage with every country. We also don't have two-way trade. So when our ships go down to Cuba with our ag products, they always come back empty. Anyone who's involved in the commodities business knows how expensive freight is when you're moving bulky products. And so having those ships come back empty is really difficult for us to stay competitive. And they certainly, Cuba doesn't have a lot of things that they can export, but they certainly have a few. And one example is Cuba exports shrimp to Russia and other places far away. The U.S. imports shrimp because we have a huge shortage of U.S. seafood. We import shrimp from places like Thailand and Ecuador. And so it would be very easy for us to bring some of these refrigerated containers back that are sending U.S. chicken to Cuba, bring those back with Cuban shrimp. That's one example. There's tropical fruits. Of course, there's rum and tobacco. There's lots of things that we don't really grow here in the U.S. that we could bring in from Cuba.
And say the name of the Cuba's president. What does he say about his desire to have this two-way trade?
Yeah, so Miguel Díaz-Canel is the new president of Cuba. And his visit to the U.S. This week is the first time he's been in the United States. And so it kind of represents some hope, because this is the first time we've had a president whose last name wasn't Castro. This is a president who was born after the Cuban Revolution occurred. He was not part of creating the Cuban Revolution. And so as a relatively younger president, he presents some hope for both countries to have a different path in the next 60 years than what we had in the last 60 years. And so his message during the meeting was very upbeat and very positive. He was very thankful for the many delegations that agriculture has sent down to Cuba over the years in order to make some of these agriculture trade deals and to develop relations. He wants us to continue to do that, and really just to thank the leaders of the agriculture community for extending a hand in friendship and being willing to do business with Cuba. That was, I think, his main message.
Mark, what is the status of soybean exports to Cuba? And if you have any specific information about Illinois, and what is the potential if some of these restrictions were removed?
Yeah, so last year we exported $50 million of U.S. soy to Cuba, and that could have been $150 million because Brazil and Argentina, they're exporting soybeans and soybean meal to Cuba. That really should be our market. With Cuba being 90 miles away, there's no reason why Brazil and Argentina soy should be making its way up to Cuba. And so, as far as Illinois exports, it's hard to really break down how much of it is from Illinois, because when the barges end up down in New Orleans and everything gets mixed together, and then some ships go down there to Cuba with our soy, it's hard to know which comes from what state. But we do know that ADM, has made some sales to Cuba, and a number of the other big agribusiness companies, Cargill, and of course we have those facilities all throughout the Illinois. And it's, we have an all-water pathway to get to Cuba, so it just makes sense that that we have a logistical advantage to get our soy to Cuba with the Illinois River, the Mississippi River. And so, there's definitely some potential to grow that market. It's not a huge market, but it is significant. Cuba imports soy from U.S., and that's the number two ag import from the U.S. The number one ag import from the U.S. that Cuba imports is chicken. That is about $165 million a year, And that's actually the third largest market for U.S. chicken exports. So when folks think of Cuba as a tiny island, it's insignificant. It's actually pretty significant when it comes to chicken. And, of course, our soy feeds those U.S. chickens that go down there. And the market could be bigger because it's an island that can't grow a lot of its own food because of droughts and hurricanes and things like that.
All right. So what's it going to take to normalize relations when it comes to the will of Congress and, you know, guidance from an administration? What's the perfect scenario? And is that achievable? Are you optimistic?
Yeah, absolutely. We're optimistic, you know, because when it comes to exporting food, there really shouldn't be a lot of politics involved. I think most members of Congress can agree with that. It's just like providing medicine or anything else. You know, if we're serious about human rights, well, as farmers, the human rights that we're most concerned about is the right for every person to eat. So why should why should food be involved with politics? And I think every farmer understands that. We all agree with that. And most members of Congress agree with that as well. There's just a very small minority, mostly from Florida, that tend to block some of the legislation that would allow us to have normal ag trade relations with Cuba. When it comes to the Illinois members of Congress, everyone is in support. I mean, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, when we go to the Hill and we talk about Cuba to our own Illinois members of Congress, we get nothing but positive feedback. We've had Congressman Rodney Davis down to Cuba with us before. Sherry Bustos has been down there. And, of course, Senator Durbin is very supportive, Tammy Duckworth. So we have a lot of support from Illinois for normalizing trade relations, and we just need to keep that message going. And I think sooner or later, we will have normal ag trade relations with Cuba.
In reference to the human rights issues, is it possible to even know the extent in Cuba and where that stands today, and with the new administration there, if there has been any easing of those conditions?
Well, you know, as someone who is really focused on agriculture, that's not really an area that I'm involved with. But I can tell you, you know, having been to Cuba a number of times and talking to folks on the ground, I do think there is a lot of hope in Cuba because they can see changes happening. And it's little by little sometimes, but when we first started going to Cuba on ag delegations, Cubans were just getting cell phones because it was actually illegal for them in the early 2000s for them to own a cell phone. You know, there weren't that many cell phones around then, but once cell phones became popular in the U.S., the Cubans weren't allowed to own them. Cubans weren't allowed to go to hotels or even be in the lobby of a hotel because that was something their government restricted. They weren't allowed to own their own businesses. They weren't allowed to sell their house or a lot of their property. It was all controlled by the government. And now those things are changing. So there have been some changes with respect to the freedoms that the Cuban people have. The thing that I find most refreshing is the entrepreneurs and the entrepreneurship spirit in Cuba. There are a lot of Cubans that own their own restaurants now. They have their own bed and breakfasts. And when you go to Cuba and you can use those businesses, eat at those restaurants, and stay at the bed and breakfasts, you can really see the spirit of the Cuban entrepreneurs, which you wouldn't have seen 15 or 20 years ago. It just wasn't allowed.
Are they allowed internet access now? You mentioned cell phones. There's more cell phone use there as well?
Yeah, it seems like everyone has a cell phone now, especially the younger generation. And not only is the internet allowed, but it's encouraged, and the government is making strides to make internet broadband more widely available. While President Diaz-Canel was here in the U.S., he met with Google and other executives and they're working on projects to try to make internet available in every home in Cuba. Right now, most of the time, if a Cuban wants to use the internet, they would go to a public hotspot area, and that's where they would be able to get on the internet. There's not a lot of internet availability within homes, but you'll be driving around Havana, and you'll see a bunch of Cubans on their phone, and that just happens to be a public park or something where internet is available. So I've got some friends in Cuba, and the other day they called me up and did a video chat on Facebook, and that's because they were testing out their system, and internet was free and available for everyone that day because they're doing a lot of testing to try to add internet to everyone and make it more easily available.
Thank you for that update. I'm interested in Cuba, and I just read a book about it, and I didn't real well. It was a novel, so it was a historical novel, but I didn't. I was curious about how far they've come, anything else from the meeting that you would want to share with our listeners that I didn't ask, or that you think is valuable for them to know.
One thing that the president pointed out is that Caterpillar has a relationship with Cuba, and you know, since your listeners are from Illinois, that's something that I think everyone should be aware of. Not only that, but the president mentioned that Caterpillar is planning to open up a facility in their industrial port district, to their economic development zone. So things are happening. You know, a lot of things happen behind the scenes, and they don't get a lot of media attention. But there's definitely a willingness between both countries to develop better trade relations, and we're seeing that a little bit, and it can continue as long as we keep a little pressure on Congress and we don't give up.
Is there a goal for a free trade agreement eventually between our two countries?
Well, I don't know if we would call it a free trade agreement or not. I think the first step is to make sure that we allow credit for U.S. ag products to be shipped to Cuba, just like we do with every other country. And we actually have some bills in Congress in place where most members of Illinois, members of Congress, have actually signed on to it, and so that's something that would be a next step, is to allow credit to the Cubans that want to buy our ag products.
You mentioned the legislation, Mark. I'm glad you did, because I had read that there is something in the farm bill that I believe includes Cuba in a market access program, or do you know what that is exactly?
Yeah, it's a very small amendment to the farm bill in the Senate. Senator Heitkamp introduced that amendment, and what that would do is it would allow market access program funds and foreign market development funds to be allowed for Cuba. So, for instance, right now, you know, the USDA has these two programs. We use those funds to promote our ag exports all over the world, but because of the embargo, we're not able to use those funds in Cuba. And so that would be a very small step forward to allowing us to do more business in Cuba. And it's somewhat symbolic, because if this passes, and it looks like it will, there's a lot of support. Even Marco Rubio said, you know, let's not mess with food. This is food trade after all, or something to that effect. So it would be the first piece of legislation with Cuba in 18 years. So that would be very significant. So we're looking forward to that amendment being passed.